We're still a month and a half away from the North Carolina primary, but the yard signs can officially start going up on public rights of way tomorrow. And we've got a big caucus coming up in Iowa in just a few days, February 1st. Everyone talking about that. You just heard the CBS report about Donald Trump's non-appearance at the upcoming debate, which everyone will be talking about ad nauseum until that's done. We're joined now in the studio by phone by Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling, based out of Raleigh, publicpolicypolling.com, the website. But they just did a big new survey of Iowa. You can get the numbers online. Tom, thanks for joining us. And what are we seeing in Iowa right ahead of the caucus?
Well, Donald Trump has really become the front runner in the state over the last few weeks. We find him with an 8-point lead. He's at 31% to 23% for Ted Cruz, 14% for Marco Rubio, 9% for Ben Carson, and nobody else is even over 4%. And when we had last polled Iowa a couple weeks ago, Trump was only leading Cruz by 2 points at that juncture. But over the last 2 weeks, Trump's seen his support go up 3 points. Cruz has seen his support go down 3 points, and that's where you get to this 8-point lead for Trump now.
What might have caused that swing?
Well, I think that the Canadian birther issue really has been something that's hurt Cruz quite a bit over the last few weeks. We found that Cruz's favorability rating in Iowa has dropped by a net 30 points over the last 2 weeks. He used to have a 69 to 18 favorability rating. Now it's down to 56 to 35. And something that we had found when we polled about that Canadian birther issue was that only 32% of Republican voters in Iowa think that someone born in another country should be allowed to serve as president. Trump has just kept hammering on that issue, and I think it's really eaten into Cruz's credibility some.
I know the other big thing that's happened in the past couple of weeks is Sarah Palin came out with that big press conference endorsing Donald Trump, and a lot of pundits and commentators, as soon as that happened, said, well, that's a game changer in Iowa, because Ted Cruz was going for the evangelical vote or the Tea Party vote, and they're all big Sarah Palin fans. And very shortly thereafter, you did start to see a number of polls that showed Donald Trump getting a bump in Iowa over Cruz. But that's actually not what this survey seems to be finding.
No, we found that Sarah Palin is actually not that popular with Iowa Republicans. Only 45% have a favorable opinion of her. 40% see her unfavorably. And it's not the, you know, very conservative sort of voters that Palin appeals to who are forming Trump's base. He's actually down by 14 points to Cruz, 38 to 24. Among voters who describe themselves as very conservative, who you would generally think would be the most likely to be influenced by Palin. But Trump is then up 34 to 17 on Cruz with somewhat conservative voters. And when you get to moderate Republicans, Trump leads Cruz by 26 points, 32 to 6. So Palin not that popular, but it's actually sort of the more middle of the road to just a little bit right of center Republicans that Trump's drawing his strength from.
We're speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling, publicpolicypolling.com, the website, if you want all of these numbers from Iowa or other states as well. I know every time we talk about a new poll, and we've talked every week, we've always said, well, the primaries are still a ways away and a lot can change between now and then. So there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unpredictability. We're now only a few days out from the Iowa caucus. Are things clearer now, or is there still a lot of unpredictability in what could happen next week?
Well, I think things are certainly clearer, but there is a lot of uncertainty still. One thing that we found in this poll is that 31% of voters say they still might change their mind between now and Monday. So that's a lot of voters to still sort of have on the table. And I think one thing that's going to be really interesting to watch is we broke down the results just among the supporters of the 9 candidates who are in single digits. And even though those 9 candidates all have pretty negligible support on their own, they add up to 30% of the electorate. And those are the kind of people you think maybe they'll switch their vote in the closing stretch and try to vote for somebody who actually has a chance to win. Among that group, if they had to pick between the top 3 candidates, 35% say they'd vote for Rubio, 25% say they'd vote for Cruz, and only 17% say they'd vote for Trump. So, you know, right now Rubio's in third place. He's at 14%, but if a lot of those people sort of jump ship and vote strategically, he has the chance to maybe end up finishing with 20 or 25%. And if that happens, even if Rubio finishes third, there's going to be a lot of talk about Rubio having momentum if he sort of outperforms his poll numbers from people sort of changing their calculus at the last second. And the other thing along those lines that I think is relevant to look at is, again, among the supporters of those nine, what I would describe as also-ran candidates, if they had to choose just between Cruz and Trump, 50% of them would pick Cruz, only 21% of them would pick Trump. So Cruz has really been trying to frame this as a two-man race, and I think that's savvy of him, because if people have to pick just between Cruz and Trump, they're a whole lot more likely to move to Cruz than Trump.
And I know the Republican side, the numbers have just been released a little while ago. Did you poll Democrats in Iowa, too?
Yeah, the Democratic numbers will be coming out tomorrow morning, and what they're consistent with is what we've been finding over the course of this month. It's about a 6 to 8 point lead for Hillary Clinton in Iowa. One interesting thing to think about there with being up 6 to 8 is Martin O'Malley's at 7%, and if Martin O'Malley at any given caucus site doesn't get 15%, which is sort of known as viability, then his supporters get to move to their second choice. And we find that the overwhelming second choice of O'Malley voters is Bernie Sanders as opposed to Hillary Clinton. What O'Malley's presence in the race is sort of doing is splitting the anti-Clinton vote. So even though Clinton's up by 6 to 8, I think that's going to tighten up from O'Malley people moving to Sanders at the caucus sites. And also, when you're talking about that sort of margin, it's really just pretty close anyway. The big question is, Sanders is relying a lot on getting people who haven't voted in caucuses in the past, and in a lot of cases aren't even registered Democrats, to come out on Monday night. And they are allowed to do that. You can go if you're a registered independent, and you can go to the caucus site, and as long as you change your party affiliation to being a registered Democrat, you're allowed to just show up on caucus night and vote. And Bernie Sanders is really depending on those kind of people in order to be successful. And we'll see if that ends up working out for him.
And then it's all about turnout. Again, we're speaking with Tom Jensen, Public Policy Polling. And Tom, before we let you go, I have to ask, this is a very different year, and we don't really know just how different a year it's going to be until the actual results from the primaries and the caucuses start to come in. But there's a lot of, agitated voters on both sides, a lot of people who are motivated in different ways. They're driven by this distaste for politics as usual, or politics that politics as we've seen over the last 8 years, 15 years, 25 years. And there's a lot of talk that 2016 is going to be a very different kind of year. How does that affect your approach to polling, and how confident are you your general sense of how the poll numbers are going to correspond to reality this year versus in previous election cycles?
Yeah, well, one thing I would definitely say in general is it's just a lot harder to poll caucus elections than just about any other kind of election you would poll, because it's very low turnout for one thing. You have this unusual dynamic where people can just show up and change parties on election day and that sort of thing. So I do think that people should sort of be prepared for surprises, because it's a situation where things are moving fast. There's a lot of weird rules sort of involved. And, Rick Santorum never led in a single poll, but then won the Iowa caucus. And I don't even think that was because the polls were wrong. I think he just got his momentum at exactly the right time. But it is something that you definitely have to keep in mind with sort of consuming these numbers, is that things can really change sort of at the last second.
We're just a few days away from Iowa, and again, only a month and a half away from the North Carolina primary, too. Visit publicpolicypolling.com for more numbers from Iowa and other surveys from other states as well. Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.